Hey, it's Diane. It is Tuesday, September 10th. I'm here with the noon PSS group. So far we have Jennifer and Teresa. Who wants to start us with celebrations and check-ins?
I can start, Jennifer. I now have a college student. He started last week or 2 weeks ago. And so far he's okay. And he's working and he still has his job, so it's good there.
How you doing, Mama?
Okay.
Okay, she says so timidly. What was fun about it and what was hard about it?
Sorry. I guess hard because, you know, it hits us full force that he wasn't, or he didn't get the education, so to speak, that he needed to fully be successful right off the start in college.
Well, no, and it makes sense that you would kind of go in with that perspective. And, you know, you've been working with this long enough to know that part of it is developmentally, he wasn't ready to get some of the tools, right? So we take the 3 to 5 challenge. You've got a kid who's more like 15 or 14, and we're asking them to handle the complexity of college. So what comes up when I say that?
Yeah, but I feel like the stakes are higher because it's like we've, since school wouldn't do what they were supposed to and retest for his learning disabilities last year, that we're having to figure that all out again ourselves, and I kind of wish we didn't have to.
Yeah, it just feels like one more thing on top of everything else that you're having to help him get support from disability services.
Right, but I'm completely thrilled that he took it upon himself in that first week of school to go into disability services and figure out, okay, what do I need?
Yeah.
You know, what, yeah. You know, and he got most of it, but we need to have proof of his specific learning disability redone. You know, that his psychologist or psychiatrist can't do that part.
Right. Right. Well, so I guess the question, and I'm going to move on because I see Maria joined us as well. The question I want you to sit with is, what do you need to trust is true in order to kind of help you through this next phase of uncertainty? So if you have a quick answer, I'd love to hear it. If not, I'm going to let you sit with it. How's that, Jen?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let you sit with it. Okay. Teresa, check in and celebrate.
Yes. Okay. So I went into the Jacqueline's room recently in the evening thinking that I was just going to find out the answer to a simple question, and it just escalated and got out of control into like several battles of a big fight. And then all of a sudden there you are at night, and you're both tired and you're both triggered, all the things you tell yourself you're never going to let yourself get into. And it didn't necessarily end great, but the celebration came when she went off to bed and fortunately, I think, fell asleep and got some sleep, I'm grateful for. But I didn't necessarily, and I sat there first being, you know, angry, and then all those stages, and you're feeling sorry for yourself, and you're thinking how you're going to escalate the punishment, and then really just a miraculous kind of transition of saying, okay, I'm just going to sit and think and pray and be mindful. And then I started listening to this Audible book just so that I wouldn't be distracted and ruminate on all the things that had just happened. It's a great book. And dozed on and off listening to this thing through the night. And by the morning, I was able to seize all of the, I was able to calmly reflect on what happened, how it escalated, kind of sort the wheat from the chaff or whatever, however you pronounce it, and realize how over the top and unreasonable I had been, and to go to her, like write her a little note, 5:30 to 6:30 in the morning, reach out to her, hug her, tell her I love her, tell her I'm sorry, and it just completely reversed what could have been escalated into a situation that got even worse. So, in fact, it not only shifted the whole tone, but it made it into, I think, a real growing experience for both of us, because I was able to model for her, accepting admitting and accepting where I had failed, asking her forgiveness, telling her I was sorry, et cetera. So.
Wow. Well, it's interesting to kind of see how our kids react when we have those moments. And I love how you gave yourself some grace, but held yourself accountable. And what was the hardest thing about it for you?
Well, in a sense, it was living. One of the things that I feel like I get criticized from my husband a lot is that I have a tendency to be inconsistent. And so always in the back of my mind is, oh, well, now I issued that consequence. And oops, I can't take it away because I've already issued it. And so, I mean, there were a lot of hard parts about this, to be honest with you. But in the morning when I realized that, you know, not that it always takes two to tango, and there were plenty of things on both sides, but that I, as the adult, had really lost my own control, set and issued consequences in the heat of the moment that you always regret. And when I realized how it all started from such a trivial place, it was having the grace to say, you know what, Jacqueline, that consequence, I'm going to take that back, because it shouldn't have been there in the first place. And so bearing the potential wrath of, and I don't mean to paint my husband as an ogre, because he's not, but sometimes I get stuck in the rules and not, you know, kind of like the Pharisees, and not in what they are really supposed to mean or represent. And so, I don't know, there was a lot of hard parts about that, but to be able to feel good about, saying I goofed, you don't deserve this, thank you for, loving me back and being patient with me. And you know what it generated? Instead of her being, for like one of the rare times, she goes, "Mom, I'm so sorry too. I'm so sorry," you know? And it was just how you can trigger your own, because so often when we get into these escalated things, I feel like she will never own up to what she might have done or her disrespect or where she might have erred. But my going there, my being humbled, triggered her own ability to look at herself, I think, too. So
yeah. Well, love that. So that is a great celebration. And sometimes it's when we, like you just said, it's like when we screw up and we admit it, it gives our kids permission to screw up. It gives our kids permission to learn forgiveness. I mean, there's all these kind of consequences. So celebrate that you were able to kind of fail forward, and it sounds like it had a positive outcome for you and Jacqueline.
Yeah.
Maria, what about you?
Okay. Well, this week is theater week for my daughter, so she's a little bit on edge, a little sleep deprived, in a happy spot, though, with how everything is going. And we have one of her best friends I'm watching for the week, in addition to, you know, making sure she gets everywhere she needs to be when she needs to be there. I'm doing it for two now, and they kind of go in opposite directions, but it's been really good so far. And they've been getting their homework done, although they've still been going to bed late, but, you know, it's like, you know, nature of the beast with how busy, you know, she is this week and how much homework they give her, you know, at school. So both kids are in different grades, but they both have, you know, a ton of homework. And one, you know, her friend doesn't have ADHD, and she's still getting to bed, you know, sometimes later than my daughter. So I'm like, oh, okay. You know, this is
it's interesting to have that perspective of, you know, what's a realistic expectation for the amount of work that she has and how long it's taking her and some of this other stuff. So,
yeah. Well, you know, some kids, they just seem to, their parents say, oh, they knock it out, fine, no problem. My kid gets to bed early, or they're able to get through it. And I do see her approaching things a little bit differently than my daughter, but they're two different people. They're not the same people. So it doesn't matter, you know, ADHD or not ADHD. It's just, you know, everybody's different.
It's different.
And So, you know, it's nice seeing that. I did do a little level one parenting this morning with my daughter. Was just super snarky with me. So true confessions too. you know, I was trying to get her up, and you know, we were very pressed for time because I had to get the other child to school 30 minutes earlier than we normally have to be to school. And so I just said, they come first. As long as you're showered and dressed, that's all that matters. And then my daughter was just being, you know, difficult. And I was just trying to make sure we stayed on task. So she wasn't wanting to wake up, wasn't wanting to take her pill. She was mouthy, and I'm going, okay, this is because she's tired. This is not, you know, out of disrespect, although it was highly rude and disrespectful, but I just kind of let it go. But then I was like, you know what? This phone in your room right now, it's not waking you up. She's got all these alarm sets, and they don't work, okay? Because we were trying it her way, and it wasn't working. And so I bent over the bed, I got it, and boy, did that get her awake. So it's kind of amazing, like, what does activate their brain in the morning. And, you know, and I said, well, this is going down.
Well, so here's the thing, right, yeah. So then the question is, so what you activated was her amygdala. Right. So she went to this place of fear. Right. I was just talking to this parent about the same thing. It's this sort of when dad yells, kids act. Right. And the reality is that it, yes, you could always use fear to motivate your child. You could threaten to take away everything. You could yell. I mean, all of these sorts of things. And what you really want is for your kid to learn tools and skills. I've got one mom I coached for years, and she figured out the only way she could get anything done herself is if she did the equivalent of yelling at herself, which is what her parents did forever. And so she had never kind of figured out how to get her brain to do what she wanted it to do. So, yeah, yelling works, and or taking away the phone or whatever it is. So it, the thing I love about that, Maria, is that, that you'll have the opportunity now to say, isn't it interesting that when I did what I did this morning, your brain was able to kick in differently? What do you think happened? And then start the conversation again about what do you want to try now and what worked and what's not working and what is it about the different alarms and some of that other stuff. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. It does. And, you know, the great news was, you know, she was talking to me, so it wasn't like she was completely not talking to me. She just didn't want to get up because she was exhausted, and I got that. And I was like, you know, I'm concerned, you know, and I came from a point of being, hey, I'm concerned. You need to get up because we don't have time to waste. And you need to get moving, you know, and I bring her pill upstairs. We have a whole routine that we go through in the morning, and her friend is sleeping in the guest bedroom because it's not sleepover week, you know, so there are rules.
So,
and
So hang on, Maria. So I'm going to ask you, is this where you want to take aim, is kind of back on getting up in the morning? Where do you want to focus our conversation today as we jump into the topic?
Oh, I don't know. I was just going to finish my celebration that, you know, checking in and celebrating that we got to school in plenty of time. Everybody was happy, and we had a good morning. You know, she was
awesome.
She was very sweet. She was, yeah, it was good. So
awesome. Yeah. Cool. So do you need to think about where you're taking aim, and I'll loop back?
Yeah. Let me do that.
Okay. Jennifer, where do you want to take aim? Jennifer, do you have us on mute? Jennifer.
Sorry, I'm on mute. I put myself on mute.
Where do you want to take aim?
I've got no idea. I think I've got to get on figuring out how exactly or what exactly he needs in order to be successful, whether that we have to get him retested or and then where and all that stuff. Or
so hang on a second. So I'm gonna let's think about the different steps, right? Because this isn't, you know, that this isn't like a medical condition or like glasses where it's like, okay, we gotta get him the right prescription and then he'll be fine, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the marathon view. And what I'm hearing you say is you wanna take aim on kind of the next steps in getting him more support and more accommodations in college than what he's able to get without this diagnostic support. Is that fair?
Well, yeah. I mean, if we don't have to go through the diagnostics just for one class,
I mean, ultimately, he needs some support and some accommodations. You aren't quite sure what those are. I mean, the two of you could work together to figure out what does he need. He could get that from you. He could get that from the study help people on campus. He could get that from his professor. I mean, there's all kinds of places he could get it. But it seems like what you're really trying to do is to figure out what are the gaps that he still has in terms of managing the caseload in this class?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay, so that feels like a big place to take aim. So is it about taking aim on partnering with him to take some next steps? Is it about taking aim on getting really clear on where some of the supports might come from? What do you think?
I think getting clear on where supports come from.
Okay, cool. All right, and is that something that you do with him? Is that something you do for him and then communicate to him? Where?
No, we're going to have to do it together because mommy can't do all this stuff for him in college. He's going to have to...
So hang on a second. Every time I hear you say he's going to have to, right? I mean, the reality is that you could do more for him, right? You could.
Yeah,
I mean,
but it's not that easy.
It's not, right. And I spent 2 hours on the phone with my college freshman last Wednesday helping her organize her plan for tackling her assignment. Because she needs help organizing. That's her challenge. And so I think I'm reading into your language, Jennifer, and I'm wondering how much have you told yourself this story? Now he's in college, I shouldn't have to do anything.
No, because I know that he can't do it all on his own.
Okay. So you can see a role for yourself. But it also feels like there's this sort of he's going to have to, right? So what's the he's going to have to?
Well, he's going to have to. I can't go to school to talk with these groups, talk with the tutoring group or the academic coaches. He's going to have to do that on his own.
So how true is that?
Well, I can't leave work to go. So he's going to have to
So what you really need is to figure out how to get in conversation with these, you know, how to have a conversation with these folks. And you're a creative mom. I mean, the reality is that you could have him go and try one time, and if it didn't work, you could get on the phone with them. Or, you know, it's this sort of, you know, I think about, so, and I don't mean to be kind of sharing all my personal stories, but, like, my daughter is supposed to be talking to disability services at her school this week, and the conversation we had was, I need you to, you know, what would it take to get far enough along in this process so that when I am up there in a week and a half, if I need to go back with you, you've at least laid the groundwork, right? So it's that sort of, instead of it's just she has to do it, it's this sort of how can she start the process so that she knows where she does and doesn't need help. So
right.
What's the parallel for you, Jen, that you know, how engaged is he in this process right now?
I think he is because he realizes he does need help. He just doesn't know how to or what to ask and
So if you've got buy-in, right? So if you've got buy-in, then I'm going to challenge you to take aim on collaborating with him to map out the next steps. Does that resonate?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Because he needs you to help him figure out how to do it. Even if there's 9 steps out of 11 that he can take as himself, knowing what the steps are and figuring out did the steps work and how do I take the steps and all those other things sounds like things he's going to need help on. Fair?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, cool. Teresa, where do you want to take aim?
One of the things that has been a present reality in our life right now is Jacqueline is driving herself around it. This is, you know, she was late getting her license, so now she finally has this car and can take her herself places. And we're in this phase before the ACT, and she's getting adjusted to her classes, AP, and the level of homework. And one of the things that always kind of drives me nuts is I perceive that she's not using her free time well, the time in between when school ends and when she has to get to cheer practice, the time that she has at school and study hall, et cetera. And so I think that I'd like to take aim at just kind of, and I don't know if this is what we're talking about, but just really letting her have more control of those day-to-day decisions, and just let her, I guess for me, it's to just shut up and let her manage it the way she, relinquishing control, because I can't control it anyway, and I always have this, I let myself get fearful, and what if I don't remind her that she's got the ACT in 2 weeks, and what if I don't remind her that, like, those books actually take longer to read than they should, but it just damages, it comes across all the time as nagging, I know what I have to do, why don't you let me do it, you know, and just so I guess it's more on me taking aim on.
Well,
me
so here's what I want to challenge you to do, Teresa, because I hear exactly what you're saying is to sort of you're if you think about level one parenting, two, three, four parenting, right? So level
right.
one is kind
right.
of you're micromanaging everything, right? Sort of do you have this and did you do that, and just kind of like even if you're asking questions, they're questions to direct her a certain way. Level four is like, okay, you're just letting her do it on her own, and you're there for her when she comes to you and says, hey, Mom, I need help. And my instinct is that she actually needs you to be somewhere in the middle. Is that fair?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what if you take aim on collaborating with her to figure out how to help her without her feeling like you're nagging her?
I like that.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Maria, are we ready? Oh, wait. I have you on mute, I think. You had some background noise. Wait, there you are. Are you there? You had some background noise, so I put you on mute. Yep, there you are.
Okay. So last time I took aim on how to help her through this time, find out what she needs, support her, scaffold her, you know, and so it's hard for her to kind of get the converse, for her to tell me what she needs. She just feels like, well, you're my mom. You instinctually know what I need. So just do it. And that's kind of her, you know, her attitude. And I said, look, if you need laundry, I'm looking at the pile of laundry. You need to tell me what in there needs to be washed, okay? Because she does some of her own laundry with me saying, hey, it's time to do laundry. Let's go ahead and work on this. And so I said, if you need a costume, you need leotards, whatever you need to tell me. And so I think maybe just more of that. And then also kind of piggybacking on the last, was it Victoria? I don't want to feel like I'm nagging her, because I did walk in last night expecting the girls to be goofing off, and they were focused and getting stuff done. But I'm impressed. And I said, hey, good job, girls. I'm so glad to see that you're really, you know, on top of your homework and everything. The fact that it took them until after midnight is the crazy part, but anyway, they both had long extracurriculars, and they need breaks, you know. So I get it.
Well, here's what's coming up for me listening to you, Maria. It's this sort of, it's the same sort of thing. It's this sort of, you know, the language, she needs to tell me what she needs, right? And so that's assuming that she's at a level four. She needs you to be at a level four, right? And the reality is that it may be overwhelming for her to try to stop and say, Mom, I need help with this. Or, you know, there's lots of reasons that it's hard to ask for help. And so I guess the question is, what change are you looking to see, and what's the baby step, not the ultimate end point? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what is the change you want to see?
I'd like to see as much calm as possible through the rest of the week into Sunday.
Okay.
Calm in the household. So calm in her life. So she's not stressed out. She's going to have a certain level of anxiety anyway because she performs, and she always gets a little anxious before she performs. So I'm just trying to make
well,
sure.
Well, so hang on a second. Let me ask you a question. So how much have you decided what it takes to make sure she's calm? Well, in order for her to be calm, she has to do this, 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 and this.
How much have I decided?
Do you already have that picture in your head of what it's going to take to have her calm?
Yes. Do I need to reiterate it?
Well, no. That's my point, right? So it's kind of like you want it to be calm, and you've already decided what the solution is in order to make it calm, right? She needs to tell me when she needs to have laundry. She needs to make sure she gets enough sleep. She needs to, like, you've got your list of stuff that needs to happen in order for her to be calm. Is that fair, or am I overinterpreting?
No, you are. It's being prepared. You know, it's like planning and structuring her time and being prepared.
So hang on a second. What if she did it a completely different way, but she was calm?
That'd be fine. It doesn't
would
have
it?
To be my way. It would be fine.
So
yeah,
if she went to practice in smelly tights, or she didn't get her homework done, or she stayed up till 4 in the morning, or whatever it was,
but she was calm.
We've
done all of that. She hasn't been calm, but we've done it. You know, we've had to, you know, like, okay, you need a uniform. I can't wash it if I don't know it's dirty, you know. And you know, if it's in her bag and I...
Well, but again, it's the sort of thing. If she was 5 years old, you would walk into her room, you would pick up the... You would think, okay, tomorrow she has this. I'm going to go up to her room. I'm going to smell her clothes, make sure she has a clean leotard, and I'm just going to throw it in the laundry. Right?
Yep. And I do all that, too. If I do it, and I try to do it while she's gone, unless I'm gone during the time that she's gone during the day. But if I try to do it while she's at home doing homework, it's, Mom, you're interrupting me. Can you leave? And I say, well, I'm just trying to help. I'm, like, trying to get your laundry, you know, and I'll explain to her, hey, I'm in here, not trying to distract you, but I'm just trying to do this. And I try to take care of most of that stuff when she is not there.
Okay, so let's get curious. So let's get curious. What is it? What are three things that make her less calm?
Not being late makes her less calm.
So when she feels late, she gets off balance. When she's tired, she gets off balance.
Yeah. And when she is hungry, she gets off balance. So I try to make sure she's fed well, make sure we're getting on places on time or early, and help her get enough sleep. So last night, she is 11:15, and she goes, I'm all done with my homework. And I'm like, yes, now she can go to bed. And she says, I'm going to get in the shower now. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you've got to be kidding me. So she took a shower. I'm like, really, do you need a shower? She's like, yeah, I need a shower. I'm like, okay, go take the shower. Please be quick. And
you know, leaving her be. So then she takes a shower, she's blow drying her hair, she's got her whole process, and it just takes her the time it takes her, you know. Yeah. And we're trying to speed her up a little bit, and she says, I'm not going to be in the shower more than 10 minutes. And that's
so
reasonable because she has
a
lot of hair.
So I'm going to interrupt you, Maria, and I just because I like literally just looked at the time. And part of the challenge here is that we're really trying to hone in on some stuff. And I want to shift gears a little bit because I want to leave this at where we're taking aim. And I think that it's been hard for all of us because we're in this situation where we have something we want to see different. And we ultimately need to figure out how to collaborate with our kids on it. So all three of you kind of honed in on this same sort of thing. So I'm going to challenge you, Maria, to kind of really take aim on the collaboration part of it rather than the solution part of it. And so noticing, you know, it's like, what is it? She gets upset when you come in the room. So there's something there in that dynamic that's causing a different kind of calm, or, you know, something other than calm, those sorts of things. And so I want to move us into the conversation about self-care because I don't want to not do that. And I want to come back to this conversation because there's this enormous work here for all of us on this sort of, we can see how it is to jump in and take over, and we can see how it is to just let them fly or fail or fall. But it's this kind of, how do we stay in the middle and how do we scaffold when they need more help? That I think is where we ultimately kind of all get kind of tripped up. Does that make sense?
It does.
And here's the thing. So today's lesson is about putting your own oxygen mask on first. And I think that this is the hardest part of this for us, is this sort of, we're so focused on helping them, or we're so focused on getting this done. And some of us are really good about finding time to go to the gym, and some of us are really good about kind of giving ourselves some space and some bubble baths and whatever it is. But this wheel of life that we cover in this chapter really kind of looks at all the different aspects of self-care. And maybe for us, because we're looking at how to help our kids, and Maria, particularly, you've been thinking about this challenge with your daughter and what she's struggling with. You know, we're talking about sleep, nutrition, exercise, personal care. I mean, all of these things you were just talking about are things that are on the wheel of self-care. And so part of this is about modeling for our kids and helping them to see, you know, how does it feel? How do you feel when you don't get enough food? How do you feel when you don't get enough sleep? And letting them make the determination, because, you know, part of, you know, our observation is going to be completely different than their life experience. But so I want to look at this wheel of life for us for a second. And the areas of self-care, we all know that self-care is the thing that most of us put at the bottom of our heap. It's hard to prioritize, and it's really important to kind of get into it. There's really kind of eight areas that we talk about here. And Maria, I'm going to put you on mute again because you still have some background noise. But, you know, we're talking about sleep, nutrition, exercise, personal care, which is kind of like getting your laundry done and getting your hair done and like all those things to kind of just take care of your physical body. Your physical environment, which might be, you know, how organized is your house? Are there pieces of paper all over the place and mail that you haven't gotten to in months? Those sorts of things. Time management, which is how aware are you of how you're using your time, and are you really controlling your priorities, or is it kind of controlling you? How do you feel about your social life? How do you feel about the level of intimate and physical relationships you're in? Those sorts of things. So, you know, take a minute and reflect on where you are with all of these things. And I would love, you know, to just kind of say on a scale of 0 to 10, where do you feel like you are on self-care? And what's your biggest, you know, kind of area for opportunity? Where do you tend to stumble the most? So think about that for just a minute, and I want to hear from all three of you that response. Tracy, you want to start us off?
Sure. I'm not great at self-care. I type A, overachiever, you know, have a very high sense of time in my brain and it ticking away. And so, like reading over the material for homework, you know, one of the things that struck me is that, well, not only do I need this for myself, but that whole modeling piece, because I'm realizing that it's very important for, in terms of managing stress and avoiding anxiety, is that, for example, my daughter take the time to take the breaks. And when she says to me, "Mom, you know, you're the one that makes me anxious," I recognize that, first of all, I don't model it. And second of all, I think I always make her feel guilty for taking breaks, which is a horrible thing to do and puts a lot of pressure on her. And so I, it's something I've failed at through my life. I mean, I get a lot of exercise running around the house, but I don't get a lot of exercise doing the things that I should be doing as a, you know, late 50s woman. And just taking a deep breath and giving myself permission to take a nap or read a book or whatever. So I'm taking a deep breath as I'm saying all this.
There you go. I love that. Love that. Jennifer, what about you?
I definitely don't take time for myself like I need to. You know, it's funny that I just turned down a job because I felt like I wasn't in a place where I was taking care of myself enough to be able to help others. Take care of themselves or help others in situations. And it doesn't make much sense out of context, but so.
Well, but it's natural, right? So we feel like we've got to be expert in it. And it's funny because I'm sitting here, I just did the wheel myself. So it's easy to kind of set the bar high and say, well, if I'm not doing this, how could I possibly help someone else? And a lot of times when we do, like you were just saying, Teresa, modeling for your child, it's like that sort of, okay, so that's, you know, by focusing on that for her, your ability to focus on it for you changes. Jennifer, what comes up for you out of that?
I think that's true. I need to just force myself to take care of myself, or just common sense stuff, you know.
Well, so hang on a second. So I'm gonna use our model here, right? So this sort of, you know, if you were gonna say to your kid, just try harder, just do it, right? It's the same sort of thing for us. So let's roll back and say, what is it that makes it hard to focus on self-care for you?
I just think that I want to make sure that the other two in my family are taken care of. And a lot of times I just don't feel like it. I'm too tired to go exercise. I'm too tired to, you know, plan that whole nutritious meal and everything.
Got it. So self-care feels like work for you, and you're so busy doing all these things for other people that it's like, okay, now I got to work at creating a plan. So
exactly.
I guess part of this, so that's why this list of stuff can be good, because self-care can be, you know what, I'm going to listen to my music in the car and crank up the music, or I'm going to, you know what, I'm going to purposefully do nothing for the next half an hour to really relax and enjoy, and I'm going to give myself permission and not feel guilty about it. You know, or it, you know, so it doesn't, and I guess that's the question, is a lot of us have to get out of the mindset of, self-care is something we have to do versus self-care is something that we just naturally do and we get to do, right? It's just sort of awesome. Nobody's home. What can I do that will feed me?
Right.
You know, and so sometimes it's just kind of even remembering, how do I focus on me right now instead of focusing on everybody else? So what comes up as I say that?
It sounds good and when you say it, but it's just a matter of.
Well, and I guess that's the question, is if it's about creating a new habit, right? So it's this sort of, do you figure out where in your day you can fit it in? You pick one thing, right? So it's kind of like, maybe I want to eat better, or maybe I want to maybe I want my house to look neater, you know? So it's this sort of, you know, what is, of all the things kind of on that list, Jen, what's the first thing that comes up that would be an easy change or an easy potential shift?
Maybe personal care.
Okay. And so for you, what is personal care?
Maybe going to get regular pedicures so my husband's not screaming that my bottom of my feet are scratching him.
Okay. Great. So if you were going to get a more regular habit of going for a pedicure, how often would that happen?
I'd shoot once a month, financially, once a month.
Okay, so you've got the budget. You've already thought through that. And I guess the question is how hard will it be for you to find an hour once a month in your two, I don't know how long it takes you, an hour and a half maybe for me? I don't know. Does that sound about right, an hour and a half?
Yeah.
How hard would it be for you to, okay?
Not hard, because now my son's working. He works late at least a couple nights a week, so.
Okay.
I'll just
so is it about scheduling it? Is it about scheduling it in advance? Is it about thinking about it ahead of time? What do you think is going to be the most important piece of it that's going to help you to start doing this once you make the commitment?
I think thinking about it ahead of time and, you know, planning it with my husband. Hey, I'm not going to work, you know, CJ's at work until 10. I'm going to leave work and go get a pedicure instead of coming home.
Got it. So what are you going to do to remember to start thinking about a pedicure once a month?
I think just having to start putting it in on the calendar, you know, planning me time, writing in me time.
So actually, instead of saying, you know, I've got a meeting at the school or I've got a meeting whatever at work, I've got a meeting with me.
Right.
So if you do that, how likely is it that you'll keep that appointment, or is that going to be hard for you?
I think it would. Would do. I think I could get it.
Would do.
I think I could get
so
it.
So what would successful look? What would success look like for you, Jen?
Having nice feet, nice looking feet.
There you go. And your husband not complaining about the scratching.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the process, right, guys? So I'm going to challenge Maria and Teresa for you guys to do the same thing. So it's like, rather than starting with, I just have to do this. You know, so go back and say, what is it that makes it hard? Well, it makes it hard because it feels like work. For Jennifer, it feels like work. And for a lot of us, that's the sort of thing. It feels like one more thing to do. And or it may be that, you know, you don't, you literally don't have time during the day, or it may be that you forget it. It may be that you haven't quite figured out what self-care is. So go back and kind of say, what is it that makes it hard? And then say, okay, so what's a baby step? What, you know, what would it look like to kind of just start doing this rather than hitting the home run as a way to kind of move forward? So that's my 2 cents on self-care, and I know we're getting close to time here. I'm curious. I want to kind of just do the wrap-up, and you guys can talk about self-care or talk about some of this other conversation. But our 4 questions are on page 17. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? So jot down a few notes, and then we'll get started on our closing questions. Whoever's ready, let's go.
Jennifer, I guess clarity for me is, even though he's graduated, he still needs his mommy, and that I can still help him through college, you know, helping him, but more partnering with him.
How would that feel different for you?
It would feel odd, because it'd be more, in high school it used to be, okay, this is what you need to do. Okay, now you didn't do it. Okay, now I've got to follow up and send emails to teachers and stuff. But now it's, you know, he's vested because he's paid, so he doesn't want the money to go to waste by failing a class. So I think he's more up to, open to getting the help.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, so it's that sort of like going back and finding that space in between. You know, it's like asking more questions. Pausing first and say, hey, how open are you to getting some help? Or how open are you to having a conversation? You know, and then giving him some reassurance that if he gets stuck, that you'll be there for him. So that he knows that, you know, even if it's hard for him to do it all alone, that you've got his back. Does that resonate?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Awesome. Who's next?
Okay, this is Teresa. So one of the things that I'm going to try to focus on with regard to self-care is going through this program. I talked to you about it, Diane, about just being more mindful and living more in the present moment so that I can stay out of that activated, sympathetic nervous response, being fearful all the time. And so that's going to be my self-care, is really carving out the time to do that instead of just succumbing to all of the urgent things that hit my radar screen every day. And really, I think what it's going to take, the baby step to take for me to be successful in doing that, is going to be actually what somebody else already spoke about earlier, is actually writing it down on the calendar and protecting that time, because it's easy to put meetings and things in that actually do occupy a physical space and time. But these things that we could do at many, you know, multiple options during the day, if I don't schedule it in, other things always crowd it out. And so I'm gonna actually sit down and make my calendar and stick it in and respect it, and do my best anyway. And awesome. And be gentle with myself if something does important, squish it off. But try my best to keep that as a focus.
Well, and the challenge I'm going to give you is that if something does squish it off, do what you would do if it was somebody else. Oh, I'm
so sorry
that I can't meet with you at 9 o'clock on Thursday, but I have an opening at 4 o'clock. Can we meet then instead?
Yes, great idea.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Maria, what's up?
Well, I'm going to focus on sleep, continue to do that, which I was doing okay, and, you know, it's kind of back and forth. The last few days haven't been great because nutrition, exercise, and there's quite a few other things that are in line. So, I'm going to collaborate with my daughter to do that. I'm going to say, look, I'm going to bed early. If you want to stay up, that's fine. Is there anything you need for me before I go to bed? And, you know, set a time to go to bed, you know, and then just give myself a little leeway, no more than 20, 30 minutes beyond that, so that I can get some quality sleep, and also to do some meditation, because that does help me, helps me relax, and take a nap if I need to, give myself permission, which I do that from time to time, but not often enough. So.
Cool. Awesome. Right. Great call today. You guys are making good progress. I know we talked a lot about a lot of stuff besides self-care, but it sounds like you guys are pretty clear on some steps to move forward, and I look forward to talking to you guys next time.
Thank you.
Everybody.